Are classic video games just better than newer modern games? Why is it that we cling to classic retro games so fiercely? And is it true that newer, modern games that we love the most are the ones that harken back to the classic bygone eras of gaming? This and much more, coming up right now on Space Castle. Welcome back to Space Castle, it's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, and I may or may not have invented the Konami code. Friends, I, like many of my friends, and I suspect many people around the world, have been stuck lately on this small, incredibly fun, and addictive little indie game called Vampire Survivors. It was developed by Luca Galante, also known as Ponkle. It was released in early access in 2021, and a full release was just released this year in 2022. It landed on Xbox Game Pass in November, and it's just exploded into popularity. It's a very, very simple concept, and something that probably wouldn't have been out of place in your favorite web browser games lineup back in like the year 2001. It's something that me and my buddies in our computer class in high school would have just fucking fallen in love with, and probably would have gotten yelled at by the teacher for playing way too much in class. What you do is you wander around this very simple, pixelated graphic environment with an isometric view, and your attacks trigger automatically in regular intervals, while waves of monsters come after you. There is no attack button. There's no button usage at all aside from choosing your item upgrades when you level up. You play the game almost entirely with just the joystick, in my particular case since I've been playing on Xbox, and the strategy comes from how you navigate the hordes of enemies coming after you, how you angle your automatic attacks as your character is firing them off, and how you choose to level up and build your character and evolve your weapons and upgrades. It's the simplest thing. And it's wildly addictive, and it's brilliant in its simplicity. The critical reception has been through the roof with fantastic reviews, and everybody I know who's tried it has instantly fallen in love with it. I myself have poured way too many hours into it, and I am still not bored with it yet. Several of my friends and I have been posting our best runs on a Discord server, and we've been having mildly competitive back and forth discussions about the game, kind of goading each other, giving each other shit, and talking about the best way to build your character to level up as high as possible. I am stuck on this very quaint, very simple, yet brilliant little game, while many of the latest and greatest games that have come out lately have honestly left me kind of cold. I'm spending hours at a time with Vampire Survivors with its pixel graphics and its bare-bones gameplay, having a fantastic fucking time, while graphically stunning, plot and gameplay-rich games have been coming out and just honestly can't really hold my interest for very long. This got me wondering, and it's a question that's been posed to Space Castle before, and one that I think it's finally time to delve into. Are older games just better than newer games? Are games that are simple, whether by intention or necessity, just better video game experiences than the most AAA title games that cram in as many features and side quests as they can? Or do I just have a strong sense of nostalgia for older games, and does it create a bias in my preference? Am I just fucking getting old? I mean, the answer to those last few questions is obviously yes. But let's take a closer look at this. Now, I've done a fair amount of research while coming into this podcast episode. My first thought was that it was the nostalgia factor. Retro gaming is one of the biggest booming genres of videos on YouTube, with millions of people tuning in to various channels just to watch nerds like me talk about and play classic games from the NES era, all the way up to the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis era, all the way up to like the PlayStation 2 timeframe. Yes, the PlayStation 2 is now verging on being considered retro gaming. I am not happy about it either. Friends, we're getting fucking old. Anyway, these YouTube creators tend to be about my age, sometimes a little bit older, sometimes a little bit younger, and they played all these classic games as they came out back in the day, just like I did. So these are people who have first-hand expertise on the subject, and they're very well-versed on a wide variety of classic games. But there is also a newer, younger generation of YouTube creators, podcasters, and bloggers out there who still list off their top games as being like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VII and Earthbound and, you know, stuff like Elden Ring too. Which is totally fair, because Elden Ring is fucking great. But even then, if you think about it, Elden Ring and the more mainstream Souls-like games harken back strongly to the days of the NES where games were brutally fucking hard, but they were fair, and there was a sense of satisfaction in beating a boss and bragging to all your friends. And when it comes down to brass tacks, Elden Ring has a very rich lore, but it's largely optional if you prefer. And there are some modern game mechanics and RPG elements, but the absolute core and main feature of the experience is that gameplay cycle of fighting your way through to a tough boss, getting your ass kicked over and over and over again until you either luck out and beat it, or you discover some special tactic to take it down, and you share it with your friends. People who are half my age or younger were spending their time this year getting wrecked by Elden Ring, then trading tips and bragging rights with their buddies, just like I did in grade school in the 90s with the likes of, like, Ninja Gaiden, Mega Man, and Castlevania. So is it a nostalgia thing? Or is it just a core gameplay thing? So I kept digging, and a prevalent thesis is that older games are perceived as being better and more memorable experiences than newer games because those older games just don't have much fat on them. So classic NES, SNES, and Sega Genesis games were much more simplistic and streamlined in their gameplay, largely out of necessity. Because of graphics and memory limitations, there's only a certain amount of information that can be thrown onto a cartridge, or a floppy if you're a DOS PC gamer, so only the most pertinent and important features were left into a game's final build. There are tons and tons of videos and essays about the development of most classic and time-tested video games out there from the 8 and 16-bit eras. I highly, highly suggest you go back on YouTube and you seek some of them out. There are tons of videos on, like, for example, the development of the earliest Mario and Zelda titles on the NES. Then there are so many instances in these stories where Shigeru Miyamoto and his team had to kill their darlings, which for the younger crowd means to remove something you really love and wanted to keep in, to make their games work and yet still also provide the most robust experience they could with what little they had to work with at the time. The Gaming Historian is actually one of the best channels on the YouTube and the internet in general for such things, and I absolutely recommend checking out his channel if you are not already one of the many people who wait with bated breath in between his video releases. Anyway, the idea is that classic games are so good because hardware limitations force the developers to be creative and careful with their choices to create gaming experiences with features that only supported the key idea of the game. They weren't inundated with the near limitless options of today's game development, and, I mean, let's be honest, that's actually become something of a big detriment when it comes to game design nowadays. I'm not going to point fingers at any game developers like, I don't know, CD Projekt Red, but it's becoming something of a big problem with modern game creation, where developers' eyes are way bigger than their stomachs, and we get games that are overloaded with features, but are largely half-finished and incredibly fucking buggy. I think there's a good game somewhere in Cyberpunk 2077. Underneath all the layers of superfluous crap piled onto core gameplay mechanics that really suffered from just not enough attention and fine-tuning. And I'm sorry, it's my own personal opinion, but having to wait for a game to become good years after its release is just not acceptable. Anyway, the average NES game held anywhere from 8 kilobytes of memory up to a megabyte, which is actually incredibly small. And yet developers for that console created experiences that still hold our attention and imaginations today. In fact, it really wasn't until the fifth console generation, the original PlayStation's release, that games finally started to reach a single gig in size. Final Fantasy VII, for example, is just under a gig and a half, and it spans three discs. Those are actually kind of quaint numbers by today's 100-plus gig-sized titles, which take up just a ridiculous amount of space on your console's hard drive, while really not offering that much of an experience to justify it. And I think that leads to a fair comparison. The original Final Fantasy VII was 1.3 gig, and it offered gamers hundreds and hundreds of hours of gameplay, depending on how obsessive you were on completing everything, like I was. By comparison, Final Fantasy VII Remake is 100 fucking gigs. It's about 10 hours of gameplay stretched into about 30 or 40 hours, and I honestly haven't felt compelled to play it again since I finished it back in 2020. It's gorgeous to look at, the music is phenomenal, and it's kind of a boring experience once the nostalgia factor has faded. Sorry. And I'm gonna get real honest here. The Final Fantasy series, from like 9 on, I feel like has honestly become largely bloated, with more focus on gimmicks and graphics and telling amazing stories with great gameplay like the NES era up through the PlayStation era. You can kind of feel, if you go back and listen to my retrospective on the Final Fantasy series leading up to 16, how my tone kind of shifts. Like, I started out, like, really fucking excited with the NES and SNES games, all the way up to, you know, 7, 8, and 9 on the PlayStation, 8 being kind of an outlier because I don't really love 8. And then from that point on, you can kind of tell that with, like, the exception of 12 and, like, 14, which is an amazing MMO, actually, I kind of feel like the franchise lost a lot of steam. I don't know. But one thing that's got me really excited about Final Fantasy 16 is the notion that the director and the producer want to bring the series back to greatness with this new game. And by doing so, they're going to harken back to the Final Fantasies of old. They're actually going back to a medieval setting. They're scaling back on all the crazy nonsense features and nonsensical fucking storylines that have kind of plagued the franchise for a long time. And I'm more excited about a Final Fantasy game than I have been in over a decade, maybe two decades. And when you think about it, the most wildly popular and successful games out there are those that harken back to the classic era of games, let's be honest. Elden Ring harkens back to a time when games were tough as nails. Vampire Survivors harkens back to a simple yet addictive gameplay loop that spurs on passive competition amongst friends and the desire to play just one more round to try and beat your buddy's high score. And Nintendo's core competency as a company has always been to evolve their flagship franchises without sacrificing what gamers love and expect from them. The Mario series has evolved from the original NES title to Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch, while still being entirely recognizable and easily accessible for all people from all generations. And while I personally kind of think that Odyssey follows maybe a little too closely in the footsteps of Super Mario 64, who can blame Nintendo for making such a direct follow-up to one of the greatest games ever made? Legend of Zelda: The Breath of the Wild works so fucking well, in my opinion, because it captures the exact same feeling of exploration and adventure as the original 1986 game that started it all. Yes, Nintendo evolves their games into more modern sensibilities with gameplay and graphics, although we all kind of know they're kind of behind on that second one. But they've never abandoned what brings players back to those series time and time again, and they've never gone down that ridiculous rabbit hole of features and graphics overshadowing a genuinely enjoyable gameplay experience. So, what's the right answer? Is it just nostalgia from a generation who refuses to let go of their games from the 80s and 90s? And want all these fucking kids with their Fortnites and their Modern Warfare to get off their lawns? Or is it that game development has gotten so clouded with what they could do that they didn't stop to think about what they should do? Yes, that is a Jeff Goldblum reference. Welcome to Space Castle. I think it's both. I think there are still tons of great games being made today with modern graphics and features, but I think that the best games coming out today are the ones that haven't lost sight of that thesis that a game and its core intended experience are king. That rehashing the same bullshit like Madden and Call of Duty games for fast cash every single year isn't the way to do it, and there's a reason why those games are forgotten each time a new one comes out. Besides the obvious thing like NFL roster changing and whatnot, and people wanting to play the most current teams. But people still play fucking Madden 93. Which isn't actually called Madden 93, but you get my point, on the Super Nintendo. And why NHL 93 is still the best fucking hockey game ever made. And they understand that overloading your game with a bunch of features that just bog down the experience and mask the fact that the game is basically just boring and soulless underneath all of it is the wrong way to do it too. So, I don't think that older games are just better by default. I don't. But I do think that the best newer games are the ones that understand their history, have built upon it and evolved from it organically, and generate experiences that don't necessarily emulate the old games, but understand the spirit of making sure that the person playing the game is coming first and doing right by that game player by ensuring that a satisfying and rewarding experience is first and foremost with the game's development. But also, fuck those fucking Fortnite and Modern Warfare kids. They need to stay the fuck off my lawn. And that's going to do it for this episode of Space Castle. It's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. Thank you guys so much for listening every week and checking out the Space Castle YouTube channel as well. We just hit over 100 subscribers, and I couldn't be more thrilled. You guys are so fucking awesome. Just by listening and watching, you're supporting Space Castle, and you're dragging my ass back to the microphone every week to keep it going, and I love you for it. If you want to take it a step further, you can check out the newly remodeled website, spacecastlepod.com. It is still a work in progress. Please keep that in mind. But there you'll find links to listen and watch, buy some awesome merch that I personally designed, and you can subscribe on Patreon to become an official part of the Space Castle crew. My name is DT, thanking you as always for hanging out with me and reminding you to take care of each other and be good.